In the name of Jesus, who abides with us, amen. Jesus today gives us some tough words, but also encouraging comfort for difficult times. In talking this week with a pastor friend of mine about this passage, he reminded me that when someone tells you, don't worry or don't be afraid, there's usually reason to be worried or to be afraid. I can think back of when I was on a bus on a curvy road up a mountain, a very narrow mountain road in the highlands of the Philippines. The bus was old and this road was small and high. The driver told us, don't worry, don't be afraid, I know what I'm doing. Looking down, there was reason to be worried. One wrong move and it'd be all over. Jesus tells us there is reason to be worried. There is reason to have fear, but he overcomes that. But we are realists as Christians, and we do sometimes get afraid. In our gospel reading, Jesus gives his disciples bad news. Jesus tells his followers they will be hated because of his name's sake. Families will be divided because of Jesus. There will be trouble for the followers of Jesus. The one who endures to the end will be saved. Now, the word gospel means good news. There doesn't seem to be much good news in what Jesus says to us in the Gospel of Matthew. As Christians, we are realists. We realize, really realize the reality of sin and evil. But we're also hope-filled, people of hope. And where then can we find hope in our gospel reading today? Where can we see good news in what Jesus says to his followers? To begin with, and Jesus knows this, we need to confess the truth. Remember, as Christians, we're realists. We confess the power of sin, the hold of sin that it possesses over us. We confess that we're sinners, but we also confess that we deal with sin in the world. We confess there is sin and there is evil. There is direct opposition to God's goodness and God's people. That is why Jesus says in our gospel reading today that his followers will be hated because of Jesus' sake. This did actually happen to the first followers of Jesus, those who heard this message. Families were divided over Jesus at the beginning. Jesus tells us that family will turn out family member, betray family members to death, all because of Jesus. There's one story about this in the early church. I'll share with you a story about the early church, and then I'll share a story in the contemporary church of our day. But we'll start with the first story. There's a story of a woman named Perpetua. She was a follower of Jesus around the year 200 or so. 200 years after the birth of Jesus. She was a Christian in North Africa. Perpetua's story, you could find it online, is the first known writing that we have of a Christian woman. And in her story, Perpetua tells us that she was accused by the Roman authorities for being a Christian. She's found out. It's an accusation that was dangerous. It could lead to the death penalty. Perpetua is a young mother. Perpetua's father tells Perpetua, look, Perpetua, you're a mother. Other people just lie about this. Just say you're not a Christian. The persecution will go away. Lay low. Save yourself and your child. Think about your future. Perpetua writes this down. And she tells that she doesn't lie. And when asked if she's a Christian, not that she sought it out, but she's asked, she plainly says, yeah. And she actually says in her writing that, look over there, what's that? That's a vase. Well, what do you call it? A vase. I'm a Christian. What do you call me? A Christian. It's pretty straightforward, even maybe a little snarky. Perpetua is clear about her faith in Jesus Christ. She's straightforward about it. She's public about it when she needs to be. Jesus is her Savior and Lord. She does not hide her faith when the going gets tough. And Christians have handed down her story for centuries. Perpetua was eventually killed for it. But for centuries, Christians have remembered her, remembered her testimony, her life, an ordinary Christian from North Africa. The one who endures to the end will be saved. We don't live in a perpetuous time like that. And I remember as I was thinking about seminary and training to be a pastor, whether I should go through it or not way back in the day, I was asked directly by an older and wiser pastor. He was also a professor. And he asked me point blank, have you suffered for the gospel? I thought the question was strange. The gospel is good news. But the simple words, have you suffered for the gospel, struck me to the heart and still does. Martin Luther, the reformer of the Christian church, to which our Lutheran church is named, said that theology, or real theology in that sense, or theology that really matters in life, is theology that's lived under the cross of Christ, or a theology of the cross. It's a theology in which Christians live in, with, and under the cross of Christ, in, with, and under the sufferings of Christ. When you're in, with, and under the cross, you see the world as it really is, broken. Yes, created by God, but yes, broken in sin. It's fallen and distorted, just like Jesus' body is distorted on the cross. We call evil and sin what it is. It leads to death. It's a lie. We realize that we cannot free ourselves from this sinful condition. Theology under the cross. But theology under the cross is the cross, right? It's hope-filled. It's full of hope, just as the cross of Christ is. Even when facing suffering and evil, Jesus was himself, as his own prophetic words from our gospel reading today show. He was betrayed by one of his brothers in faith. A family member in faith turned against him, Judas. Judas, an own family member close to Jesus, turned him over to death. Jesus was handed over to death by his family of faith. And in suffering and in the face of evil, Jesus endures to the end. Jesus is saved. Theology of the cross. And when we look to the cross, right, we look to that cross, it's an empty cross. We realize Jesus is not there. He's risen, and sin is emptied of its power, and death is emptied of its power for us in faith, and evil is emptied of its power to overcome the good. There's an emptiness there of sin. There's a fullness of Christ, the risen Christ, the hope-filled Christ. The empty cross of Christ shows us that Jesus forgives sin, destroys death, overcomes evil. A theology lived in, with, and under the cross is one of hope. And I think now we can see the good news, the gospel, in our gospel reading today. Jesus says, have no fear. Have no fear, or as Christians have put it in songs, be of good cheer. Say publicly, Jesus says, what he teaches privately, that in Jesus there is goodness that overcomes evil. Say it out loud. Death is not the last word. Say it out loud. Jesus is good and true and right and noble. We say that. There is salvation and eternal life in Jesus. We live in, with, and under the cross of Christ to forgive, to heal, to save, to make all things new, including you and me. The cross of Christ shows that there is goodness over evil, forgiveness over sin, life over death. Jesus endures to the end and is saved. Jesus calls and strengthens us to endure to the end and be saved. I shared one story from the past, but what about one from the present? We had Perpetua, but what about Brother Philip? Later today, we remember and give thanks to God for the life and witness of Pastor Philip Yang. Pastor Yang endured to the end in Jesus. He is saved. As he would tell us for sure, it's about Jesus. Pastor Yang faithfully preached Jesus publicly here at True Light for literally decades. He witnessed to the power of Jesus publicly here in Manhattan. Wherever he was, the power of Jesus over sin, death, and evil. And now he's with Jesus in his heavenly presence. He has endured to the end. His new beginning of life forever has begun. He's proclaimed Jesus. He's endured. All of us can be strengthened by the Perpetua and Phillips of the world. Pastors or non-pastors, we're all followers of Jesus. Jesus speaks his words today to all Christians. Endure to the end. All of us can expect suffering for the gospel of Jesus. We're realists. We can expect it. All of us can expect our share of pain and hardship. All of us can count on sin and evil to make a mess of things. We are realists. We look to the cross, but we're also hope-filled, and we're confident that the risen Jesus is with us. We live in, with, and under the cross of Christ, and death has no power over Jesus, and it has no power over the followers of Jesus. Jesus overcomes. Perpetua, Pastor Yang, remind us who are still making our way in faith. Hopefully, God gives us longer. For those of us who are still making our way, don't grow weary, as Scripture says, in doing good. Don't give up when the going gets tough. Expect it. Be faithful. Have some grace. After all, we follow Jesus, the one who endured to the end. Jesus says to us today, the one who endures to the end will be saved. Amen.